This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was reading last week about a stand-up comedian. Jim Gaffigan is his name. He is a Catholic of some description, and a stand-up comic. Of course, it's good to keep your sense of humor about you if you want to keep your faith. He must be at least a little bit towards the traditional side because he has 5 children and he takes them to church every Sunday, even though he's up very late working the clubs on Saturday night. Well, the thing of it is that he lives in New York City in the Bowery, and he lives in what's called a walk-up. That is to say, there's no elevator. It's a 5th-floor walk-up. And they get the children organized, and they take them every week to church. This is what he said. He said, we try to get them out the door and bring stuff for them to do at church. Church is the last thing that kids want to do, sitting quietly and listening to a guy talking about metaphors. So getting them motivated to do that is a pretty big task. Well, children, today, I know you're motivated, and I have 2 metaphors for you, manna and children. In other words, what was eaten way back when, and who did the eating? And all of this to help all of us understand what it is to be a Catholic today, as we're wandering around in the desert, wondering what's next, and to understand what it is we do when we come to church and go to Mass and Holy Communion and are fed with the body and the blood of Christ. And this sacrament is not a metaphor. What's a metaphor? It's a figure of speech. It's a way of describing one word by comparing it with something else, which is quite different, but it has at least one thing in common. So a poet might say, love is a rose. And we would say, the Holy Eucharist is the bread of angels. Or Holy Communion is our heavenly manna. But the Blessed Sacrament itself is no metaphor. It's the real thing. His body and his blood, his soul and his divinity. Only we don't see him here. It is not holy bread or a symbol of our Lord. Nor is it, for that matter, received by angels. Only we can receive Holy Communion. When we do receive our Lord, we see something, though, that looks like manna. Now, if you put like into your sentence, you've gone into a simile, but that's probably enough English grammar for today. God fed his people for 40 years as they wandered around the desert being purified and being prepared to enter the promised land. Thou didst give them bread from heaven. The priest sings that in Latin at benediction. Panem de cielo, praestitisti eis. But David the king wrote that first in one of his psalms, thinking what it must have been like that first Friday morning in the desert when the children of Israel woke up to see all outside the camp covered in white, not snow, but manna, which looked like dew and smelled like a sweet perfume and had the taste of wheat and honey and was cooked up into little cakes or tortillas, really, but tortillas de avena, wheat tortillas, not the corn kind. And they said, what is this? Manna, in their own language. And Moses answers, this is bread from heaven. The people were to gather it every morning. just enough for that day, no more, or else it would go bad. Except on Fridays, they gathered enough for the Sabbath, because they weren't meant to work on the Lord's Day. And then they were to eat it every day. That's a metaphor of Holy Communion, daily Holy Communion, or in most of your experience, weekly. Enough food for the day's march. And everyone was to eat it. It was the common food. No wrinkled noses, or I don't want that. No, no. It was a sign of membership in God's people. They all did eat, says St. Paul, the same spiritual food. And they ate it not once a year, think Easter duty last Sunday, but they ate it every day. The wicked who ate it got a bitter taste. But for the just, for the good, it was sweet and nourishing. And everyone who ate it received the strength they needed for their own particular day's duties, and of course all the marching around too. Those 40 years were sort of one long procession, you see. That's why we mustn't complain about our processions. But the thing about the manna was this: it gave everyone the strength they needed, just as one sacred host received by a saint makes that person into more of a saint, and received by someone who's a lukewarm Catholic, maybe might be just enough for the basics, so he would die in sanctifying grace. Oh, and it was a foretelling of the Blessed Sacrament, because God told Moses to gather some manna and put it into a golden urn and to save it, and to put it before the Lord from generation unto generation, just as we do on Holy Thursday. The Blessed Sacrament is saved for the next day, Good Friday, in a golden urn. And then that urn in turn was like a chalice, and it was placed into the Ark of the Covenant, which is a metaphor for the tabernacle. Lay it before the Lord, keep it unto your generations. Who did the eating? God's chosen people. How long? 40 years. Why so long? God needed to mold his people into his own. He needed to get the smell of Egypt off their garments. He needed to teach them the rules and the rituals of revealed religion, the real ones. He needed to make them into a church. A church that was akin, really, to the church suffering, we would say. It was a kind of purgatory, tramping around every day, sometimes going in circles, under the broiling sun, and it gets so cold in a desert at night. It was a symbol, a metaphor, if you will, of, I think, the life of a Catholic in every age, but especially we think of it in our own. We tend to think of the golden age of the church, and to idealize it. Probably, you know, it wasn't much different. In any case, it should be easy for us to understand what those children of the Hebrews went through. It's a metaphor for our day as we walk in our wilderness, up and down again over the stairs of our five-story walk up, carrying children or the elderly in tow, in our own winding tale of woe and of loss, of limits, of bruised feelings and broken hearts, of faith that's found and lost and regained again, like a wandering child who's finally reclaimed, with all of the missteps and all of the mistakes in our own to boot. And through it all, our weekly Mass and Holy Communion, we cleave to our manna until the Promised Land is in sight. This being the case, we should be able to follow this metaphor this morning. Would it be too much to put ourselves into it, to compare ourselves to the children of Israel? Like them, We do not try to coexist in Egypt. All of those pagan temples make the place inhabitable, to say nothing of the slave masters who take away what is most precious. No, no. One day, you and I, we just got up and we left. And almost the only thing we took with us was our faith out into the desert, but at least we had our souls intact. Well, here we are. Our 40 years have gone into 50. We have not yet reached our biblical 70, and we are still fed with the bread of angels and the rock, which is Christ, has followed us. And we trust his promise. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And who are we who are being fed? We're the same as our forefathers, the same faith, the same mass, the same church. Well, they're gone, many of them. I mean, those who first left with us, the Egypt of the Novus Ordo. They're gone or they're going, which means they've made it, so we pray, or almost, perhaps, they are in purgatory. And how we miss their presence here on occasions such as these, Corpus Christi. They were the ones who gave hours in adoration and masses heard. They were the one who gave so generously in the collections over the years, and who gave an uncompromising example of the love of our faith. Some of them are still alive, and they're just about at the Jordan, and we still visit them, and we still feed them until the time comes for them to cross. Some have wearied with the journey and are fallen away and have just melted back into the desert, or have turned their backs on us to return to Egypt. The call of the cucumbers, don't you know? And those onions, they beckon. Perhaps they could not sustain the scorching sun over the long term, or had difficulty walking over that hot sand, or they just grew tired of the monotony and the discipline of the journey. Stability, after all, is not the mark of our age. It is the age of everything instant, communication to gratification. Still, as some wander off, others come, and sometimes I like to wonder, I'm doing that this summer, I wonder who our Lord will be sending us next to help us out. It's a remarkable and a real cause for rejoicing as to how many are leaving Egypt now. They're reading themselves into a fully Catholic position on the internet. And there may be virtual members with us someplace throughout the whole world. And that is the work of the Holy Ghost. And some, of course, they've just joined another caravan, more or less the same destination, occasioning some confusion, to mix our metaphors. Remember what happened to our Lord when he was 12, going up to the temple? They thought, Our Lady did, that he was with the men, and St. Joseph thought he was with the women, and it was a heartbreak for 3 days for his mother, and St. Joseph didn't know what to do. At the beginning, you know, they were just one sort of big motley group, and everybody getting out, to keep their faith in their mass. And it seemed, although we were disparate, we're all going in about the same direction. But now, it's not that way. Still, if they're going in the direction of the Catholic faith and the true sacraments and eating of that rock, which is Christ in every sense, why then we must wish each other Godspeed and hope to meet up again across the Jordan. Finally, I mentioned this a while ago, there are many of you now who were born in camp on the road. You don't remember what it was to have that struggle Your temptation may be to take it all for granted as you come along with us towards the promised land. You come, you stay, for your own reasons. It could be family or friendship. It could be custom that you were raised this way and never gave it much thought. Or maybe some lingering sense that it must be right. You may be hard put to give the reasons if questioned, and you'll stay, maybe as long as it's not too demanding. And so here we are, all of us, so surrounded, though, by the world of sense and convention, which could condemn us as crazy for having left the lights of the big city. And what we tend to think of as reality, the world reinforces this, but it is not so. When death comes for you after your last Holy Communion and brings you across the river, it won't be like falling asleep and dreaming peacefully. It will be like waking up from a long dream and opening your eyes to sunlight suffusing the room. No more metaphors. No more merrily making our way in the dark, stumbling as we go. Now, in this life, it's only sometimes we catch a glimpse of that and it corrects our wrong perspective. Today, at Mass, see the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and from time to time, look up towards that white disc in the monstrance, which is our Lord himself. Not a metaphor, but a momentary chink in the border fence which separates us from eternity, through which we glimpse the light of another world shining on the bread of angels, by which we are fed unto life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.